Welcome to Martinsville Methodist Church. We'd like to open our service today with a word of prayer. Please pray with me. Abba, Father, it is our privilege and joy to praise you. As we sing, let us make a joyful noise to you. As we pray, may our words and thoughts be a pleasing aroma to you. As we open your word, may we trust in your unfailing promises. Your word holds true. It is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. Open the eyes of our hearts that we may see you more clearly today. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand and join me in the call to worship. As the sun rises in the morning, as the cool breeze ushers in the evening, as the heart of the noonday sun spreads across the land, God is present with us. Let us worship our God. Please stand and join me in the reading of the Psalms. That's Psalm 103, verses 1 through 18. You'll find that on page 824 in your hymnal. Join me in the reading of Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits. Who forgives your iniquities, who heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord who works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He makes known God's ways to Moses, God's acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord will not make away chide, nor harbor anger forever. The Lord does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is the Lord's steadfast love towards the faithful. As far as the east from the west, so far does the Lord remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to the faithful. The Lord knows our frame and remembers that we are dust. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like the flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it's gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon the faithful, and the righteous of the Lord to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do all his commandments. So is the reading of the psalm. Today's reading comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. Let me read. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with the view, be on alert, with all the perseverance and petitions for all the saints. And pray on my behalf, and utterances may be given to me to the opening of my mouth, to make known the boldness of the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, and proclaiming it must speak boldly as I ought to speak. So is the reading of the Word of God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as I walk through this text and this reading, I pray, Lord, that you will give me wisdom and guidance to clarify the things that are important in your kingdom. And I just rejoice, Lord, that you've given us these words to understand how to lift our petitions to you. And I ask this in the name of Christ our King. Amen. As you can hear in the text, it echoes with the importance that prayer is important. In fact, it talks about in there that all prayer and petitions pray at all times. Now, when we're talking about all times, we're talking about all times. We're not talking about just some of the time. We're not talking about just in case of an emergency. We're talking about all the time. All the time means every day. Not just once, not just twice, but several times a day. Be in constant conversation with our Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, prayer is important. And it is, the prayer I'm talking about is consistent, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer. And I get that phrase from a man named Reuben Archer Torrey. He was a minister, born 1856 to 1928. And actually, he was educated at Biola University out there in California. And his message and book on prayer is where I'm pulling all of my ideas from. In fact, this is just the first chapter and only part of the first chapter. Because you see, this constant, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer that he describes is the prayer that we need in our lives. It's the prayer that changes us. It's the prayer that calls upon the power of God. And in fact, it talks about all prayer is alert and in perseverance with the Holy Spirit. This entitles it prayer of action. When you are praying and calling upon God, it has to be active, awake, enduring. So you cannot expect God to hear your prayers when you are half asleep and falling asleep while praying to Him. And I know many of you do that because it's a very much custom that many believers have. They sit down at the end of the day and they say a few prayers and they fall asleep in the middle of it. What would you think if someone was chatting with you and then in the middle of it fell asleep? You wouldn't take them very seriously what they were asking for. Okay, and we're not talking about the prayer from an easy chair while looking up. You know, we have become in America very laxed in our dealings with formality, and to probably the extreme. You have to approach God with great reverence. Okay, your posture, kneeling down on the floor, being face down prostrated, sitting upright with intent, all with a passion. These are the poses you should be praying in. All of the great saints talk about getting on their knees before God and praying. We have pictures of Jesus praying. He's not praying sitting down and leaning back. He is on his hands and knees calling out to God. Some of the postures, as you walk through the scripture, you intend, he is prostrated on the ground, calling out to God the Father. So you must pray and pray and pray and pray some more, putting your entire heart into it. Prayer is difficult. Do not think prayer is easy. I mean, so many people that I've worked with over the years, it's like they think, well, you know, you can just sit down and we pray for our food, and that's fine. You know, prayer for the food is a casual thing, and it's an important thing to rejoice that God has blessed you with such generosity. But if you really want to motivate God, if you really want to show God that you're interested in what you're saying to Him, and you're coming before the Lords of Lords, King of Kings, get on your knees. So you look like and feel like you're praying with passion. And of course, you need to be praying for the saints. Now, when I say the saints, I'm not talking about the dead saints. I'm talking about the live ones. That's you. That's Sam. You're praying for Edna. Edna, that means you're praying for Pat. and so forth and so on. And we're praying for one another. We are the saints. We need prayer. And so we should be praying for one another and praying for the saints. If you know missionaries overseas, you should be praying for them. You must pray and pray again and pray some more and put your entire being into it. It is a passionate event. What I tell the people that I mentor, okay, as you're being passionate and you're bringing your passionate prayers to the King of Kings, you have to imagine that you are talking to the King of Kings, the God who created the universe. Okay? Take your audience, who you are praying to, very seriously. If you want to bring your petition to him, don't bring some wimpy petition that you don't care whether it happens or not. Bring a passionate prayer that you do care about and you really want him to move on, because he is the King of Kings. Now, I have a lot of people that come up with a lot of prayer lists, real long lists that they're trying to pray through. I want to tell you, put it in the perspective, you're before the King, okay? The King of Kings, the creator of the universe, the God of gods, all powerful. He speaks and things happen. That's your audience. Bring things before him that you are passionate about, that you want to happen, that you have intent, that you want to see him use his authority and power to make it happen. These are the things you need to bring before God. Not that the small things aren't important, but if they're not important to you, why are you bringing them to the King of Kings? Bring the important things. You don't need a long list. A short list is just fine, because you are talking to the man that can make it happen. And so if you're not interested in making it happen, why are you bringing it to the man that can make it happen? And intercessory prayer is important. But I recommend, as people I work with, take a shorter list. Be passionate about this short list that you want God to take action on. And of course, as I'm talking here, it needs to be consistent, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer. And you ask, why is that so important? Well, first, there is the devil or Satan. He's real. I mean, if you don't think Satan's real, he's real. He's biblical. He even spoke to Jesus in the wilderness. So believe me, he's real. And there is a place reserved for him in the pit of hell at the end of time to burn for an eternity. It's been reserved for him, not for you and I, but for him. He is cunning, mighty. He never rests. He's ever plotting the downfall of the children of God, which means that that's you. He wants to destroy your witness. He wants to make sure that any glory that God's going to get is removed, because he wants to steal God's glory. We see in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers and against the world forces of his darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." I want you to understand, as you pray, you can be challenged to understand that your power is in prayer, because the battle is in the heavenly places. It's not here on earth. Everybody likes to make it sound like that, we need to change politics. No. We need to take prayer in hand and know that there's a battle going on in heaven, and that our prayers are part of that. And it's part of our armor to arm ourselves and defend against the evil one. Okay? I tell all the people that I've worked with over the years that now that you've come to Christ, you are a target. You've got a big target on your back, and arrows are being shot at it all the time by the enemy of God. Which is why you need consistent, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer every day. And the second reason for this consistent, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer is God has appointed this method for you to obtain power, influence, and material things. And many of you have heard the term here in America, God helps those who help themselves. Well, that's a lie. It's not in Scripture anywhere. But what is in Scripture is God helps those who depend upon Him. So God wants us to call upon Him. God wants us to ask for things to move ministry forward. In fact, in James chapter 4, the last verse 2b and 3, it says, "You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures." It's clear in James and other spots in the Scripture that we're supposed to ask God for things. And if you don't have something, you need to ask for it. And you need to ask for it with a heart that you're asking for it to serve God and not for selfish gain. And to be honest with you, these are the reasons why the American average Christian lacks resources for ministry, influence the community, because they neglect time in prayer. You always start. Any ministry activity, you have to start in prayer. The outreach we have, I pray for that daily. I hope you do too. I call upon God every day I can to bless that outreach, to reach those folks out there, outside our walls, that do not know Jesus. And it's clear that quite a few of those folks that we work with on Wednesdays, which we're coming up here, do not know anything about Jesus. I personally have read many, many books for the mission field and Christian life, and it all comes back to prayer. Okay, many people ask, why am I not making progress in my Christian life? Why am I powerless? Why is nothing happening? Well, it's because you're not focused on prayer. But you know what? Many people are distracted. Distracted left and right in Christian circles by many of the chants that I hear. Some of the chants you hear in the Christian circles are, how many chapters of the Bible did you read today? How many times have you read the Bible cover to cover in your lifetime? You know what? Those are great ideas, but that's not where the power of God lies. That's not where God says He's going to bless you. This is not where you get directions from God. You get directions from God through prayer. And of course, you hear the cry of Bible trivia. Can you play Bible trivia? Well, Bible trivia is trivia. It's not the meat. And of course, we hear the cry to read, 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 read. Read this book, read that book. Did you see this movie? Did you listen to this pastor? Have you fasted? How many people have you shared the gospel with? It goes on and on and on, this chant that distracts you from consistent, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer. Because without the prayer, you are powerless because you have no power. Let's be honest. So many people think they're a Christian and then God's going to get behind them. Not how it works. God does not get behind you. You get behind God. You have to understand what God wants done so you are doing what He wants to do and get behind God. And the only way you know that is consistent, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer. The third reason for consistent, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer is this is what God expects in the Christian's life to practice on their daily lives. In Acts 6, 1 through 4, let me read that. It says, "Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in numbers, a complaint arose on part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation, and the disciples said, 'It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you seven men of good reputation, full of spirit and wisdom, whom then be put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministering of the word.'" Okay, I want you to understand there is a lot of ministry going on. But these church leaders wanted to keep prayer as a focus as they led the church, because they need to understand what God wants them to do and calling upon God Almighty to make these things happen. And you look at Paul, he dedicated much of his praying for the saints and to the work of God. Okay? He spent a lot of time listening to God during his time of prayer. So let me read some of the things Paul said about prayer. Romans 9:1. "For God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness, and how to unceasingly I make mention of you." He's praying for the saints. In Ephesians 1:15-16, "For this reason I too have heard of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints. Do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers." And he says here in 2 Timothy 1:3, "I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience in the way of my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day." So you see, Paul is dedicating his prayer time praying for the saints, not the dead saints, but the live saints, his brothers and sisters in Christ, so that the power of God can be unleashed through them. A fourth reason for consistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer is it occupied a predominant place in our Lord's life. You know, there's so many times he went up to the mountain to pray. He prayed in the garden. He prayed before major decisions, and of course, he prayed before major battles. Let me read Mark 1:35. "In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went away to a secluded place, and was praying there." In Luke 6:12, it says, "It was at this time he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God." He spent the entire night in prayer. Do you do that? Do you follow Jesus' example of taking prayer that seriously? If you can't sleep, if you have a night where you're having trouble to sleep, well, just go ahead and spend time in prayer. In the Gospels, Jesus is mentioned praying 25 times. That's 25 times it's mentioned in the Gospel that Jesus is praying. And that's not over Jesus' lifetime. That's just 25 times mentioned while he was doing his 3-year ministry here on earth. So it's clear Jesus spent much time in prayer. And as we are followers of Christ, we need to imitate Christ and do what Christ did. You know, what did Jesus do? Well, I'll tell you what Jesus did. Jesus prayed. And you need to pray. And the sixth reason, notice I'm skipping one, for constant, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer is God has appointed us for receiving mercy and to obtain grace in the time of need. We get this out of Hebrews 4:16. It says, therefore, let's draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. So as life becomes difficult, trials that you have to endure, and mountains that you need to overcome, you have to have that history with God. History with this constant, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer so that you will have the confidence to call upon your Lord and watch those mountains move. That means in an emergency, when you're driving the car and you see someone coming out of the head-on collision, that is the time to start praying to God. But I tell you what, if you don't have that history of knowing that God hears your prayers and will answer them, have confidence that no matter what the outcome, God is going to hear your prayer and react upon it, that being your first prayer is not a good way to start. Because you gain that faith by calling upon our Lord and know that He hears you and He gives you grace and mercy as you call upon Him. You know, as you confess your sins before God in your time of prayer, that He pours His grace and mercy upon you and forgives you because you spent so much time in consistent, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer. Now, at this point, I'm going to stop. Tori has a total of 11 points in his first chapter, and I've just covered 5 of them. But I want you to understand, now this is a preacher from a long time ago, and yet everything he says here about consistent, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer is important. If prayer is not the center of your life, and that you are not praying multiple times a day as you go throughout your day, you need to question your prayer life. You need to reflect on your prayer life of how important it is. How much do you really depend upon God? Is God really your friend that you can take your best concerns to? Or is He a God at a distance? James says, you have not because you do not ask. So learn to ask. Learn to ask on a daily basis so you can have that confidence that God hears you. So think about your prayer life. If it's not consistent, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer, then maybe that's somewhere you need to focus on your Christian walk. Please stand. Join me in the confession on page 889. This is the affirmation of faith from Timothy. Join me. There is one God, there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom from all, to whom we testify. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and to manifest it in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel. Now, for the benediction. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace.